This is our prayer as we listen to God's word this morning. Lord, would you teach us from your word? And Lord, encourage us from your word, stimulate us from your word, that we might pursue Jesus, that we might know him better, that we might want to live for him more, and that you would be at work in our lives so that we can be drawn closer to Jesus and live for him. In Jesus' name, amen. Ralph Waldo Emerson, famous American author, said, "Our chief want, that is our chief need, is someone who will inspire us to be more than we know we could be." To inspire us to be more than we know we could be. And that's the root of biblical encouragement. We're going to turn to Acts chapter 20 and look at biblical encouragement. Acts chapter 20, verse 21. If you don't have a Bible of your own, grab one from the pew rack in front of you and turn to page 1728. And I'm going to begin just with the first two verses. But before I do that, I want to read from this article. Steve Sheldon was a missionary with Wycliffe Bible Translators in the Amazon jungle, learning a language of a tribal people. To do that, he spent time with the people he was seeking to reach and to give God's word to. And one day, they paddled downstream and began harvesting thatch for their huts. And after they had gathered the thatch, loaded it into their canoes, they began the arduous journey upstream. And the article goes on to say this: Steve thrust his hand-carved paddle into the dark waters of the Amazon River and pulled. But with no keel to stabilize the heavy canoe, it veered sharply to the right toward the Brazilian jungle. And he quickly jabbed the paddle on the other side, and the canoe shot left. And ahead, the canoes of the Murupira Indians glided straight upriver, pulling farther and farther away from Steve. And he thought to himself, "At this rate, I'll never get home by dark. Maybe I won't even get home." Suddenly, Steve started gaining on one of the canoes. He felt good about his progress until he realized that the man in the canoe wasn't even paddling. As he drew closer, he recognized a friend of his. He was a disabled man that had been severely injured from a 40-foot fall from a Brazilian nut tree. He could barely walk. Earlier in the day, he had needed Steve's help to carry the thatch he had harvested to his canoe. And although his back and legs were weak, his arms had become very strong. "Hang on to the back of my canoe," he told Steve. "I will paddle for both of us." And when Steve and his friend caught up with the rest of the group, the men encouraged Steve to paddle his own canoe. "Pull straight," they called out. "No, not too deep. Twist your paddle." And when Steve got it right, they would whistle out "good" in their tonal language. The language being a tonal language, they could actually whistle it. And so there was a certain whistle for "good." I can't whistle at all, so I wouldn't be very good in that culture. I couldn't go there as a missionary. Up the river, the group traveled, encouraging Steve when he paddled and towing him when he needed it, never suggesting that he was a hindrance to them. A few river bends before the village, the men hollered out that they were almost home, and then just before rounding the last bend, while they were still out of view of the waiting crowd, two of the men came alongside Steve's canoe and pushed it right up to the front. Steve's canoe was the first to land. "We have the thatch," the men announced, and Steve paddled his own canoe. Together, we've done it. That's a great illustration of biblical encouragement. Biblical encouragement. We want to learn what that means today. Acts chapter 20, verses 1 and 2. We're just going to start off with those two verses. Remember last week we had Paul in Ephesus, and there was a riot that ensued at the temple of Artemis and in their Colosseum. And after the uproar had ended, Paul sent for the disciples, that is, the followers of Jesus. Paul sent for the disciples and after encouraging them, said goodbye and set out for Macedonia. That's the province in northern Greece. He traveled through that area speaking many words of encouragement to the people and finally arrived in Greece. And that's the title of the message today, Words of Encouragement. Words of Encouragement. And how important those words of encouragement are for us in our own Christian life and for the health of the body of Christ. Encouragement, one definition, is the support that inspires confidence and a will to continue or develop. So it's supporting one another in a way that inspires confidence and also inspires a will to continue. You know, like Steve in his canoe. They encouraged him, inspired him not to give up, instructed him when he was doing things wrong, gave him some kudos when he did things right, and inspired him to continue, go for it, and to develop in our own walk, our own life with the Lord. And in Steve's case, you know, to develop the skills he needed to get his canoe upstream. One modern author wrote this, "Be an encourager. When you encourage others, you boost their self-esteem, enhance their self-confidence, and make them work harder. You lift their spirits and make them successful in their endeavors. Encouragement goes straight to the heart and is always available. Be an encourager," he writes, "always." Well, that's good advice as far as it goes. We can boost the self-esteem of others. We can enhance their self-confidence, make them work harder and lift their spirits to make them successful in their endeavors. But if those endeavors are contrary to the will of God, we haven't really accomplished anything except helping somebody live better without Jesus. That's not biblical encouragement. It's good advice, but we have better resources in the scripture to define encouragement. The biblical concept of encouragement is one that inspires and helps one another. One definition of encouragement says it is something that makes someone more determined, more hopeful, or more confident. Okay? Encouragement is something that makes someone more determined, more hopeful, and more confident. Well, that's something that can accomplish that is the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And that was what Paul gave the disciples of Jesus to encourage them. When it says he encouraged them, he gave them a hope. He gave them something that was going to inspire them to be more determined, more hopeful, more confident in living their life for Jesus in spite of the persecution, in spite of the trials and tribulations that they might go through. That's biblical encouragement. And the question is, are we encouraging each other to be more determined, more hopeful, and more confident in our walk, in our life with Jesus? Are we doing that for one another? Are we encouraging one another to be more determined, hopeful, and confident? Another definition of encouragement is something that makes someone more likely to do something. That is, in this case, more likely to grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Are we encouraging one another? Do we inspire others to continue and develop in their relationship to Jesus Christ? The Apostle Paul had one of the best teachers of encouragement. The Apostle Paul was a great encourager, and he had one of the best teachers to do that. In fact, the person that encouraged Paul and helped him be successful as a Christian missionary was a man named Barnabas. We meet him in Acts chapter 4, verse 36. It says, "Joseph, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas," which means son of encouragement. Son of encouragement. That was this Hebrew nickname that the apostles gave him. He was such an encourager that the apostles, Jesus' handpicked messengers, called him the son of encouragement. And he went and found Paul, as we go back to the beginning of the book of Acts, And he grabbed Paul, who was living in obscurity then, and he brought him alongside of him, and together they discipled the church in Antioch. And Antioch was the first place where the disciples, where believers, were called Christians. And that was the foundation of Paul's ministry. I don't think he ever forgot the kind of encouragement he received at a critical time in his life. Paul had all of this great learning and knowledge, but he needed someone to come alongside of him and how to best impart that and how to encourage others and disciple others to cause them to develop and cause them to grow, how to inspire others. And I think Barnabas was a man who inspired people to grow deeper and to grow more confident, more determined, and more hopeful in their own Christian life, their own life with the Lord. In Acts chapter 14, going back, just taking a quick summary of how we see Paul and Barnabas encouraging people through the book of Acts. In Acts 14, 21 and 22, it says, "When they had preached the gospel to that city, the city of Derbe, and had made many disciples there, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch." And those were all places where they'd gotten run out of town. In the town of Lystra, Paul got stoned and left for dead at one point. He survived. But these were places that they went through great persecution. They said they went back to those cities and strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith and saying that through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. Here were people that could have been discouraged, could have said, well, what's the use in believing in Jesus? It's just making life harder. But Paul, when Paul wrote to these churches later, he says, I bear on my body the marks of Christ. He had the bruises. He had the broken bones probably to show it from being stoned at Lystra. They knew that very well. I bear on my body the marks of Christ. Yes, I know what it means to go through this kind of persecution. I know what it means to fight discouragement. And so he encouraged them. He and Barnabas were able to encourage those Christians. Remember that encouragement can mean support that inspires confidence and a will to continue or to develop. And in this case, developing and continuing in our walk, in our life, in our relationship to Jesus Christ. Back in Acts 15:32, it says, Judas and Silas, who were themselves prophets, encouraged and strengthened the brothers with many words. Words of encouragement. That's what we need for our lives and we need to do for others. Words of encouragement to build up the body of Christ. In Acts 16:40, it says, in Philippi, they went out of prison and visited Lydia. And when they had seen the brothers, they encouraged them, and then they departed. They encouraged the brothers. They could have been discouraged there because here the main spokesman for the gospel had been thrown into prison unceremoniously. Could have brought great disrepute to the cause of Christ because of his imprisonment. But instead, God turned it all around, and actually the people who threw them into prison publicly apologized, and he went to strengthen and encourage the disciples. Keep on. Don't give up. Living for Jesus Christ is worth it all. I believe he said that in many other things. We'll find out some of the ways that Paul encouraged. The word translated here as encouragement can also mean, and is translated elsewhere in the New Testament, can also mean to exhort or to urge, implore, to plead, or to comfort and console somebody. It has a wide range of meaning, not only to provide the inspiration to help somebody be more confident and continue on, but it also can mean when we are going through those tough times to comfort, to console. But it also can mean to urge somebody on, to plead with them even, to not give up. And so it can mean to urge. So Paul in Romans 12:1 says, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, to urge, beseech, appeal to. One translation says, I plead with you to do these things. That's the same word, same biblical word as for encouragement. And in Acts 19:31, it says, even some of the officials of the province, friends of Paul's, sent to him a message begging him not to venture into the theater. That was in last week's message, that friends of Paul's who were high officials, they pleaded with Paul. It's the same word for encouragement. You know, they encouraged him, but it was more strong. They actually pleaded with him not to go into the theater, not to get involved in that riot, and he didn't. It also can mean to exhort. That is to urge somebody strongly and earnestly to do something, to make an urgent appeal. And so in Acts 11:23, Barnabas came and saw the grace of God, and he was glad and exhorted them to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. So it can mean to urge somebody strongly, earnestly. We urge them on to continue on in the Lord. Don't give up. Live for the Lord. It can also mean to comfort. It is the word that Jesus uses in Matthew 5, verse 4, when he says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Incidentally, you might get more out of this message if you grab your insert and follow along, because I'm using a lot of different scripture, and most of them all are listed there, and you can kind of see where we're going here. So, comfort. We're going to actually find this word comforted, the same word for encouragement, at the end of this passage today. In Acts 20, verse 12, the people took the young man home alive and were greatly comforted. Yeah, that's encouraging to see that this guy wasn't dead who fell asleep in church. You all got that in the children's message, right? So I see everybody waking up here, not falling asleep. But they took him home, and they were greatly comforted that the young man was still alive. Paul, when he was preaching and talked on and on and on with many words, he was encouraging the people, and they knew this was maybe the last time that they'd ever hear a message from the Apostle Paul. And they were hanging on those words, except for Eutychus. And he should have been hanging on to something because he fell out of the third story window. Okay. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 to 7, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. And that can be translated the God of all encouragement, the God of all exhortation, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort which we ourselves have been comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you'll also share in our comfort. That's the kind of words of encouragement that Paul used to encourage people. He says, I know you're going through tough times, and we've gone through tough times too, and God is working through all the tough times, and we can make it. I am confident. He says he's building confidence in his hearers. And the confidence doesn't come because Paul is so great or they're so great. It's that God is so great. And that, he says, our hope for you is unshaken because we serve a God who's unshakable. We serve a God who builds a firm foundation for us. And that foundation is in Jesus Christ. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you'll also share in our comfort, because Jesus himself said, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Not only that, but the Holy Spirit himself is called the comforter, or the helper, or the counselor. In John 14:16, it says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, a counselor, a comforter, an encourager, to be with you forever. So the Holy Spirit is our comforter. And I've listed there three ways. These aren't the only three ways, but these are three primary ways in which we can be encouraged. We can be encouraged. And we can be encouraged through God's presence. We just said, Holy Spirit is here with us. Jesus, when he left his disciples, he left them with an impossible task. It could have been discouraging. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you. And that could be totally daunting. I mean, you think about that commandment. I just kind of whipped through it. But you think about that. All the nations making disciples, teaching them to obey, to keep the commandments that I've taught you. And what does he add to that? And lo, I am with you always. You see, there is the encouragement of God's presence. He wasn't going to leave them. Jesus wasn't going to leave them and say, okay, it's up to you now. I'm gone. I'm out of here. No, he's there with them. I had a birthday recently, and most of you know how old I am. If you don't, that's okay. Just guess younger, okay? A significant birthday. And I had some people post some things on my Facebook page. Incidentally, if I have not responded to a friend's request, is that I'm just, Facebook is a little overwhelming for me, and I basically there just for my kids and try to keep up with them, and I don't really not want you to be my friend, but I don't know what to do with, you know, all that I'm getting so far. I spend too much time. Anyway, but my daughter, two of my daughters posted some very encouraging things on my Facebook page, and one daughter wrote this: happy birthday to an incredible dad. Thanks for taking me on countless adventures growing up. I will always treasure the many bike rides and camping, climbing trips, and look forward to many more in the future. I admire your willingness to selfishly serve others and work for the glory of God in all you do. I hope you're having a great day, Daddy. Wow. She posted a picture of us climbing a mountain, and in the background's another mountain, and it's a great picture. I put it on my Facebook page, and somebody said on that, added to that picture, it says, happy birthday to a man who constantly encourages me not to be intimidated by the mountains in my life. I got encouraged. Other people have been encouraged. That's what it is. Spurring one another on. We're going to hear that. To love and good deeds. And so we have the encouragement of God's presence. And sometimes God's presence means the presence that is there when we gather together in the name of Jesus and encourage one another. But the presence of Jesus, that is one of the ways that we are encouraged, because God is the God of all comfort. But we're also encouraged by God's promises. We're encouraged by God's presence. Lo, I'm with you always. Jesus said, when I leave, I'm not going to leave you orphans. I'm going to come to you. He says, I'm going to send the comforter to you. So we're encouraged by God's presence, but we're encouraged by God's promises. In Romans chapter 15, it says, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Now may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are to be encouraged by the scriptures so that we can be united in one effort for the kingdom of God, building each other, spurring one another on, encouraging each other. And that's what it says here in Hebrews. The last point that I made here, the encouragement of God's people. And so Hebrews 10, 24, and 25, I've listed one of those verses in your bulletin. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, how we can inspire each other, how we can help each other grow more confidently in the Lord. And that's our task, to spur one another on. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Jesus Christ is coming, and as we sense that the day is getting closer, spend more time encouraging one another, because it's getting hard. It's going to be hard to be a Christian. We need each other. We need to encourage each other. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, it says, therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just like you're doing. And so, just like you're doing, encourage one another, build up one another. It's easy to criticize, it's easy to blame, that comes naturally. But with the presence of Jesus, we are called to build up one another. We're called to encourage one another, to spur one another on to love and good deeds. I've also listed there Colossians chapter 2 and 3, that Paul says his purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love. We can go on. There's many more things there. But let me go back to those questions that are on your handout. Do we inspire others? Do you inspire others? Do I inspire others to continue and develop in their relationship with Jesus Christ? Are we encouraging? Am I encouraging? Are you encouraging each other to be more determined and hopeful and confident in living out your relationship with Jesus Christ? This is biblical encouragement. This is our call. Encourage one another. It's a command to do it. None of us are exempt. It's not the pastor's job. It is what we do for one another. I don't think I've ever mentioned this, but I got a file in my filing cabinet. It's called an encouragement file. And over the years, from 1984 on, every once in a while as I get an encouraging letter or card or comment, I'll shove it in there. If I don't read your card, please don't be offended, because there's lots of them in there. I'm just going to read the last one I put in there just this past week. It says, for a special couple, sometimes life gets so busy that we forget to stop and say thank you to those who faithfully serve and bless us. Pastor Tim and Linda, we want to make sure you know you're thought of often. Thanks be to God. It has a scripture passage from Philemon. Your kindness has often refreshed the hearts of God's people. They wrote, thank you for the many years Linda and you have served in our church, for the great messages and words of encouragement. God bless. God bless. I was encouraged, and it encourages me to continue to encourage others. That's where we're in this together. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the God of encouragement, that you are the God of all comfort, the God of all encouragement, that the scriptures, your book for us is the word of encouragement, the word of comfort. And Lord, we are called to this together. And as we do this together with one voice and one heart, we're going to glorify you. Lord, this is essential for what it means to be the body of Christ, essential for what it means to be the church, essential for what it means to be a congregation here at Bethel Lutheran Brethren Church. This is essential for us, Lord. And help us to grasp it. And help us to go home and take these scriptures and dig into it and apply them in our lives and ask, who can I encourage today to continue on in their walk with the Lord, to be more effective in their relationship with Jesus Christ, to be more effective in their ministry, to be more effective as witnesses for Jesus. Lord, that's the theme of we've been going through, witnesses of Jesus, and this is such an important part of being witnesses, to encourage one another on, so that we can all be witnesses for Jesus. Then the world will know, by our unity in you, by glorifying you with one heart and voice, the world will know that indeed you sent Jesus to be the Savior of the world. And now, Lord, as it says in 2 Thessalonians, now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good word and deed. Amen.